Last Sunday, we began the church season known as Epiphany. And as we learned last Sunday, that word Epiphany comes from the Greek, and it means to shine forth. You see, just as God used the light of a star to lead the Magi to Jesus, God also uses the light of His Word to lead people to His Son, the Savior of sinners. Last Sunday, we also learned how many people refused to hear God's word that Jesus was proclaiming. And this is sad, because, as you know, Jesus had come to save them. Jesus had come to shine the light of God's word upon the spiritual darkness of His people. That's why the Apostle Matthew quotes these words of Isaiah in his Gospel. Matthew says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Now, when you see a great light, you can respond in one of two ways. You can follow that light and bask in that light, or you can cover your eyes and run away from that light. Sadly, as it was in Jesus' day, many people today shut their eyes to the light of God's word and run away from it. In fact, you need to know that the devil is constantly tempting us Christians to do the very same thing. Oh, we might be in the light of God's word while we're here, but we conveniently leave it here when we leave these walls. And then in our families, in our marriages, in our other relationships, we live in the darkness. Whenever the light of God's word reveals things that we don't want to see, well, that's when we're tempted to close our eyes and look away. Let me give you some examples. This happens when the light of God's word exposes various particular sins in our lives. You see, God wants us to see the hideous nature of our sin. He wants us to see the damnation we deserve so that we will turn from that sin and long for His forgiveness and mercy, which we do have in Jesus. But if we want to justify or affirm our sin because we trust ourselves more than God, well, then we're ignoring the light of God's word and we're willingly remaining in the darkness of sin and damnation. That's exactly where the devil would love to lead us as Christians. For example, the devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals the sin of abortion in our culture and maybe even in our own lives. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals various sexual sins so common even among Christians today, such as having sex outside of marriage or viewing pornography or adultery or homosexual behavior. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals our greed, our selfishness, our materialism, our love of money rather than the love of people and God. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals our hatred and malice and prejudice and unforgiving hearts. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals the evil of children disobeying their parents or others in authority over them. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals the sin of husbands and wives hurting one another, selfishly mistreating each other, and forsaking their marriage vows. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals the wicked gossip in our lives and how we have used our words to hurt others and cause them pain. The devil tempts us to close our eyes When the light of God's word reveals our indifference to the plight of the poor and needy in our midst. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals our apathy about spiritual things and our failure to make the hearing and reading and study of God's word a priority in our lives. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals that we have rebelled against God and that we deserve nothing but his wrath. We don't want to believe it's true. The devil tempts us to close our eyes when the light of God's word reveals that Jesus indeed is God and that he's the only Savior for lost sinners. It's so much easier to believe that Jesus was only a man, because then we can just dismiss him as a man in history who's dead and gone. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Your eye is the lamp of your whole body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are bad, your whole body is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." Now at first, Jesus' words confuse us a bit. I mean, how can the light within us be darkness? Light can never be darkness, can it? Well, that's true, unless we foolishly pretend that the darkness within us is light, and that the true light of God's word is actually darkness. That's exactly what the prophet Isaiah is talking about when he speaks of the following evil in our first reading. Listen to this again. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The Apostle Paul makes the same point in 2 Corinthians when he writes, "Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." My friends, we live in a culture where many people are calling good evil and evil good, where many people are calling light darkness and darkness light. And we Christians are sometimes guilty of the same evil nonsense. What hope is there for us? Well, I want you to listen to these words from our second reading. The Apostle John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Did you hear that? There's both a warning, but also a great comforting good news here. The warning is this: as long as we shut our eyes to the light of God's word, we remain in the darkness, separated from God and his love. But here's the good news: when the light of God's word fills our lives, we then have fellowship with God, because we trust his Son, who purifies us from all sin with his blood that he shed for us sinners. You see, the light of God's word does cause us pain at first, because the light of God's word shows us our sin and the damnation we deserve. Sadly, that's why many people reject the light of Scripture. They don't want to hear the bad news. But we must understand that God exposes our sin so that we might see how it hurts ourselves and others around us. Even more, God exposes our sin so that we might see our need for Jesus, who purifies us from all sin. For example, I want you to listen carefully to these words of Jesus from John chapter 3. He says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. My friends, this is what the Apostle John is trying to teach us by these words that we've all heard many times. John writes, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar and his word is no place in our lives." Now, one thing we do need to understand, when John talks about us confessing our sins, he doesn't mean, well, I'll come to church, I'll admit to God that what I'm doing is wrong, but then I'll go back out and keep doing it anyway and it's all good. No. Confessing your sin to God means really and sincerely agreeing with Him that your thoughts and words and behaviors are wrong and that you need to be set free from them. Yes, God forgives us for our sins, but He doesn't forgive us so that we can keep on sinning. He forgives us so that He can set us free from our evil thoughts, words, and behaviors. My dear brothers and sisters, the same word of God that shines upon our sin also shines upon Jesus, who shed his blood for our sins. When the light of God's word fills our lives, it exposes our sins of desire, thought, word, and deed. But that same light of God's word reveals Jesus to us, the Son of God who was born to save his people from their sins. Because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven, and you get to live as God's child now and for eternity. Being God's children means that we say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for our lives. Of course, we're going to continue to struggle with sinful behaviors constantly because we still have a sinful nature. But rather than justifying or excusing or saying, I have a right to these behaviors, we constantly bring them to God. We beg for His forgiveness, which we do have in Jesus. And we rely on God and our fellow Christians to hold us accountable, so that we can move away from those behaviors that hurt ourselves and others and live according to God's loving plan for our lives, which will be a blessing to ourselves and especially to those around us. Jesus says, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. You know the neat thing about this analogy of light and darkness? It reminds us that the power of evil doesn't have any chance against God. When you think about it, darkness is not even a separate substance as light is. It's not like darkness exists on its own. Darkness is merely the absence of light. And light always overpowers the darkness. Think about it. Does this question make sense? How much darkness does it take to put out the light of a lamp? That doesn't even make sense. Darkness can't put out the light of a lamp. Instead, the light of a lamp always dispels the darkness in a room. My friends, even though we sinners have a lot of darkness in us, the light of God's word will dispel that darkness, just as the light of a lamp dispels the darkness in a room. My friends, now you see why it's so important for us to bask in the light of God's word as often as possible. That's why it's so important for us to attend services like this on a regular basis. That's why we should attend Bible classes when they're offered. That's why we should read Holy Scripture and other devotional material during the week, because we need that light of God's Word every moment of every day. The light of God's Word will move us to live in daily repentance and faith, trusting in Jesus, through whom we are purified from all sin. The light of God's word will show us the evil that we should condemn, and it will show us the good that we should commend, so that we may live according to God's loving plan for our lives. Jesus finally says, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light." My friends, Jesus has shined the light of his word into our lives of darkness. That is why you are forgiven. That is why you have fellowship with God. But Jesus also wants us to shine his wonderful light into this world where so many people are still living in spiritual darkness. There's people like that right here in Jamestown. During this season of Epiphany, we are reminded of how God shines forth the light of Christ into this world of darkness. God continues to do that right here in Jamestown as he uses you. That's right, you, his forgiven and dearly loved child. He will use you to shine the light of Christ wherever God leads you. In fact, that's exactly why this congregation exists. It exists so that we can gather here to bask in the light of God's word. Yes, indeed. But it also exists so that we might take the light that we receive in this place and then shine it forth into our families, in our marriages, in our schools, in our places of employment, in our community, and beyond, so that more and more people may be rescued from the darkness of the devil and brought into the kingdom of God's light. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.